The subject of prayer is nothing new. Everybody prays, whether you are Christian or non-Christian. Everybody, whether he believes there is a God or no God, also prays when they have got no other hope. Because God has put into every heart what is called eternity. God puts into every heart that final cry to him when we have got no other way out. We always ask God. Even those who don't believe there is a God will pray, God, if there's a God. And then we say something. Okay. But sometimes we don't accept God's answer to prayer. You have heard a story of the young man who was very reckless. He cycled along and then he ignored every sign on the road and the sign that says, cliff ahead, slow down. But he said, what for slow down? I don't agree with rules. And he speed up. And then, of course, he hit the cliff and over the cliff he ran, dropped. But on the way down, he saw a tree trunk coming out. So he quickly grabbed it and hang up on it. So now it's a long way down and a long way up. What is he going to do? So he prayed. Never prayed before, but he prayed. He said, oh God, if there's a God out there, please help me. What shall I do? And amazingly, a voice replied, let go of your hands. He thought for a while, he thought, doesn't make sense. So after a while, he, of course, didn't want to let go of his hands. Then he prayed, oh God, is there another God who can give me some better answers? Did he hear anything else? No. So what happened to him? Well, you know the answer. You get tired, you let go, then off you go. So sometimes this is the biggest problem. We all have our own ideas as to how we want God to answer. And so, if it doesn't fit our program, our timing, our interest, we say, there is no God. God never answers prayers. My question to you is, when was the last time you asked God for something and he answered prayer? When was the last time? So, one of the biggest problems is, we do not pray persevering prayer in order to have prevailing prayer. So in your notes today, you have got this story about Jacob. Jacob was in desperate situation like most people. We only pray when we are desperate. All right. So he was thinking his brother is going to ambush him and then his wife will be killed, his children will be killed, his own life would be taken away. So he was very disturbed and worried. So he sent all his families and servants and cattle and lambs and so on across the river, and he stayed on the other side of the river. And he spent time in an all-night prayer. Or we call it extended prayer. I wonder, when was the last time you spent extended time in prayer? Well, Jacob prayed the whole night. All night he was praying and praying and praying for, the Bible doesn't tell us what he prayed about. Maybe he prayed for himself. He was in desperate situation. And then, the Word of God tells us a very strange thing appeared. And the Bible doesn't explain what this whole scenario about. Then there was a man suddenly appearing in his midst. And he understood about the God of his father, Abraham, Isaac. He has heard how his forefathers have prayed and spoken to God. And it seems this is the second time he has ever come in desperation. Talk to God. And then a man appeared. It looks like a man. And then as he prayed, he held on to this man. And as he prayed the whole night, morning was coming. This man that he was praying and wrestling with in prayer, it's a picture of a wrestling. And as the morning came, this man he was wrestling with said, "Let go, the morning has come, I'm leaving." And he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go because I believe you are the only one who can bless me." And then he asked, "And what's your name?" Obviously, he knew what was the name. It was the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord never answered. But did he know? Yes. Because he said, "I saw the face of God and live." Because normally you see the face of God, you will not live. But he said, "I saw the face of God and I live." Do you know, this sounds a bit strange story to those of you who have never wrestled with God. Because God is giving us a picture that very often when you are coming to God, prayer is a wrestling exercise. Wrestling with your faith. Wrestling with your emotions. Wrestling because you have got worries that holds you down. There are many struggles. But that's precisely why we need to wrestle with God. That's why you need to set aside time and wrestle with God. Wrestle because the issues in our life you want to deal with. So this has always been used by the later preachers to show us what kind of intensive prayer it ought to be. It was not a one-sentence prayer. It was a prayer we call wrestling or persevering. Why? Because most times we want God to answer instantaneously. We are so used to it. We become an entitlement mentality where we dictate the time. We want instant coffee. We want instant, I don't know what else, but we want everything instant. Sorry? Okay. That's good. And but usually it's instant me, what I want. God doesn't work that way. I remember 1979 was a year which was a watershed for my family. Ken and I and our children had just come back from spending some extended time in England. And we just arrived home in the last quarter of 1979. I was age 35. My wife was age 31. We were still young. We are just started a family, struggling with, you know, basic things like all of you with children. There are a lot of things to do. We're busy. But we had to ask God, "Lord, we are now just back home. What do you want us to do?" And the Lord also tell us, "What do you want to do for me?" And as we prayed, Kin had a revelation, and she said, "We would not take up leadership in our old church. Our jobs have been taken by others. No point sacking them and taking over. So what should we do?" And we begin to realize that God is always fond of doing new things. But new things need faith, because new things are only in the imagination. It's not materialized. But then that time, Bedok South land was full of hills. Tampines was full of hills. They were clearing and all flattening the ground. They're building the land. HDB flats have not come up. So it's just wilderness. And so Kin said, "Let's build a church in Bedok and Tampines." That time, in those days, you can see right across, we are living at Lucky Heights up on the hillside. And so we prayed. I said, Lord, we want to build your church in Bedok and Tampines. But that sounds nebulous. But that was a prayer. And actually, for a time, we almost forgot about it. But then, in time, Bedok Tampines Church was built with a budget of $6.7 million. And I had estimated it would be $4.7 million. And I said, how are we going to get the money? My wife said, let's sell our house. But we didn't know the house wasn't worth very much. But we went ahead and everything else, you know, happened. But we had thought of Tampines as well. So, Lord, how about Tampines? And so we prayed for Tampines together. But we didn't know God was going to take another 45 years before we got the land in Tampines. We waited 45 years. So sometimes it is short, sometimes it's a long wait. But all these years we have asked God, Lord, when is it coming? But along the way we had twists and turns. Then we bidded for a land in Tampines East. And we're the highest bid. And we bid $2 million. The government said, what is this $2 million? It's too little. And they void our, although we are winning, bid we lost. So, of course, life is full of twists and turns when you're praying. And then I waited. We bid it again 6 times. We never got any news. We lost. Until this last bid, I asked Lord, Lord, when is my turn coming? And I like the wisdom of some of our young people here. You know, Jeff's daughter, Chloe, she got revelation knowledge. When we bid it, she told her father, we sure get Tampines land. Sure get. Father asked, what makes you think sure get? She said, very simple. Pastor already moved to Tampines. So he must know something that we don't know. I moved to Tampines. And, but the question is when. So if it's, but how do you know sure get? Well, there are a few guidelines. So today I want to address 2 things. Why we need to pray. Why we need to pray. And then I want to talk about what is praying, effective prayers. Effective prayers. Because we sometimes pray out of ignorance and then we wonder, well, what is the use of praying? I'm not going to get it anyway. It's so nebulous. You know something? God is not interested in giving prayer to easy things. And God is also not very fond of doing answered prayer for difficult things. God is very fond of doing impossible things. It's something you need to know about the character of God. That's why when you had that verse spoken just now by our worship leader from Jeremiah 33:3, that's one of my favorite verses. God says, call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. That means you have not experienced before. You know, one of the most exciting things about Christian living is that you have got something ahead that you have never seen before. But because of your imagination, you are able to ask God. And if it's impossible, that's what God wants to do. And so, let's read what God says here in Matthew chapter 6. It's about prayer. Matthew 6, 5. Maybe I'll begin with this. Let me focus a little bit. This is what the Lord is saying. Let me try to. All right. 6, 5 begins. It begins with the word not, shall not. Verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not. One of the first things you need to know how to pray is how not to pray. How not to pray. The first thing to pray is to recognize why you pray. How not to pray. Don't pray for showing off. Don't pray for just yourself. Verse 7. Do not pray using vain repetition, saying again and again, but you never thoughtless prayer. That's called vain repetition. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him. And then Jesus goes on to tell us how to pray. So the first thing you need to know is how not to pray. Have you ever heard of what? How not to pray? Several things. Don't pray to show off. Have you heard when I first went to church, I heard one European man says, I wanted to learn how to pray, and I heard his prayer. He began, "Oh God, your kingdom come. Oh God, oh, we want to draw near to." I say, "Yeah, I can't pray like that, lah. I don't have that such an authoritative voice." So this is called, don't copy people's prayer just because they try to pray in a very authoritative voice. Just pray from your heart. So do not pray like this, like hypocrites. Do not use vain repetitions. Praying without thinking. One of the things, when I was learning Mandarin, how to pray, every preacher pray, 我们满心感谢你, always opening sentence. 我们每, God, we always thank you. Thank you for what? You see, thoughtless prayer. But what I want to focus on today is how not to pray. I've given you the notes, but because today I want to do a little bit differently, I want to address what are two things which I think you need to know. Am I getting it correct? Oh, looks like it doesn't come out. All right, but I'll show you what it says here. Firstly, we need to know why we don't pray. How many of you really pray a lot? Are you? You pray a lot? You pray every day? I just want to know, how do you pray? Do you pray only when you go to sleep? Like this, in the West, they teach your children, Heavenly Father, I now lay me down to sleep. If I don't wake up, please my soul to heaven take. Simple prayer like this. Or people pray, God bless me, every morning prayer. Bless me and my wife and my children and my career and my work and my money and my this and my that, and nothing else. It's all my. That's not the way to pray. So, okay, I've written here. I want to talk firstly, it's all in your notes, but I just highlight why we don't pray. That's the first thing. Why we are not effective in our prayers. That may be one reason. Maybe we are not even aware of the dangers we are in. And therefore we don't pray. Because Jesus said, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. There's so much evil around. Sometimes we are clueless as to what happens. How many scammers every day make millions and billions? And we become a victim. We don't know what are the dangers ahead. That's why we don't pray. And secondly, I want to talk a little bit about how effective prayer depends on the prayer of faith. Because James 5 says that it's a prayer of faith. You need to pray the prayer of faith. When you pray the prayer of faith, the sick will be healed. So if you pray without faith, it ain't gonna work. Because God said in His Word, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do you do it? I want to explain a little bit. And then I want to talk about God's promise that a righteous man's prayer is very effective. Last week we heard about righteousness. Seek first the righteousness of God in His kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Because a righteous man, some people say, oh, I don't want to, salvation is not by works. Look, it's only a righteous man's prayer that is effective. You know, this topic prayer can go on for 3 months, but I'm trying to cover just only these few things, and it's all in the notes. But today I want to do something to answer the first question. Why are we not praying? I think the first reason why we are not praying is because we are not even aware of the dangers we are in. Therefore, we never pay attention when Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us. Deliver us from the evil that's around us. We are surrounded by evil. So I give you this mind map. 5 don'ts five warnings that you must avoid. You must not be ignorant of 5 things. That's why we need to pray. The 5 don'ts of prayer. I showed Jesus said, don't do this, don't do that. Yes, that sets a boundary for you to know, to have freedom to pray. So the first don't, the warning, that I call it end of life warnings. Because when we pray, we need to have the end in mind. Don't just pray for the present. Pray for the end in mind. That's called vision. So the end in mind, the things you need to be aware of and pray against, the evil that you're going to face. The first thing you need to be aware of is to be aware that you do not, the first don't is don't end in hell. Now you say, but Pastor, I taught this for non-Christians. No, Matthew is a message to Christians. Jesus never talked about hell to non-Christians. Do you know that? And Jesus says, many is going to end up in hell. 3 times in this sermon, Jesus said, the 3 occasions is those who are unfaithful and commit adultery, they are in danger of hell. Those who commit murder, how? By getting angry with people and scolding people dirty names. And then you can be in danger of hell. And then 3rd thing, our hands and our feet, we bound to expose ourselves to use our members for unrighteous things, can be sin. And therefore, Jesus even talked about the extreme. What we call, Jesus used what is called hyperbole. That's a part of speech, which means exaggeration for effect. So Jesus said, if your hand keep on stealing and doing bad things, sinning, cut it off. It's better to enter into heaven without your hands and your feet than having your entire body going in. Or, if your eyes offend you, you are lust of the eyes, gouge out your eyes and throw it away so that at least the rest of your body arrives in heaven instead of ending up in hell. Have you heard that? That's called exaggerating the effect. It's a truth. But you say, what for? I gouge out my eyes. If I'm lustful eyes, then I better take steps to change the way I live. Exactly. A better solution is get yourself changed. That's why the Beatitudes, it changes. I wonder whether you have implemented any change based on the first 8 Beatitudes. When you implement the first 8, you know, being poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are those who hunger after righteousness, which is hungering after the word of God, they shall be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for Jesus' sake. 8 things. If I've been changing this heart attitude, I think I will be quite safe. So when you need to pray, because we are all in danger of hell. Dr. Billy Graham was a famous preacher in the last century. He just died a couple of years back. He came to Singapore. When he preached, millions come to Jesus. A powerful God-blessed preacher. He was asked, Dr. Graham, when you enter through the pearly gates of heaven, what will be the first sentence you will utter? What will you say? I'm asking you the same question. Firstly, will you be going through the gate of heaven? You all know heaven got gate, right? Some of you don't know, but heaven's got gates. And you need to come to the gate and you want to stand there and you want the gate to be open. Then you need to request someone be in charge of the gate. And Dr. Graham was asked, when you come to the gate, what will you come through the gate? What will you say? How many of you think you are going to, the pearly gates will be open when you arrive? Do you think the pearly gates will be open when you arrive? Okay, never mind if it's shut, but you say, you want the gate to be open, right? You don't say open sesame, it won't work. Okay, there are no sesame in heaven. So you want the gate to be open. But anyway, the moment you step through the main gate of heaven, tell me, what will you say? Will you have anything to say? What will you say? Oh, what a beautiful place, is it? Well, Dr. Graham answered like this. Remember, he's a famous preacher. He said, when I step over the threshold through the gate of heaven, I will say, phew, I made it. What does that mean? It is not a given that you arrive. Yes, you have started on the journey of faith. You are heading for heaven, but what makes you think you will arrive and cross that threshold? With going in faith. Because there's a journey. If you don't end up in heaven, where will you end up? That's why in this simple sermon, Jesus said 3 times about hell. And the biggest thing for Billy Graham is that he escaped hell. I don't know about your journey of faith, but I wonder, are you so sure you will end up in heaven? Yes, you're on the road. That's good. But, you know, there are many who will not make it. The Lord said, many will not make it. So next week you hear another sermon about a narrow gate and a narrow way and a broad way. many people who enter the broad way, the easy way, the easy Christian life, the fun life, don't have to do anything. And no need to live a righteous life. It's all by grace. Whereas the narrow way, the difficult way, few will be entering. But the broad way, many. Many Christians like the easy way. After all, salvation is by grace. God must do everything for me. I have no need to do anything. So we have to bear in mind that heaven is my home. I don't want to end in hell. So my prayers must reflect this end in mind. The second thing Jesus says, don't end up being the least in the kingdom of heaven. I've talked to some of the new Christians in the early days when we started BC. And one guy one day told me, he said, "Hey, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I thought you got some big secret to tell me." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Pastor, I notice you are very, very zealous to serve God. You give your money, you give your time, you spend. You look like you never take holiday." I said, "Oh, he's complimenting me. Wow." He said, "But Pastor, that's fine for you. But let me tell you, I'm not interested. So you leave me alone. Don't ask me to do anything for Jesus." How do I answer him? I never answer him. Because Proverbs say, don't answer a fool, because he'll hate you. But Jesus said, don't end up as the least. Because when you are lowest on the list, you might not even make up on the list. Don't just end up being the least in the kingdom of heaven. Do and teach my commandments, Jesus said. Don't end up. It's very foolish to say, "Oh, I will get into heaven by the skin of my teeth." What happens if there's no skin on your teeth? Second thing, this all in the Sermon on the Mount. Why must we pray? Well, firstly, the first one, we need to pray because I need to pray to take drastic steps against sin and evil. Well, but don't be the least. I need to pray how to be great, how to do and teach His commandments. I need to pray because I'm not very good in doing and teaching. But I want to do it because I want to set my goal to be great. Jesus wants us to be great in the kingdom. Then, in the next sermon, you see something about wasting of wealth. Do you know God deposits a lot of wealth into each one of us? Some of us don't even realize it. Great wealth, financial, intellectual, because all the money you ever make starts from here. Ideas, wisdom. So, but Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. Don't get into heaven just by the skin of your teeth. There's treasures. Lay up treasures. There are treasures in heaven, but you need to lay it up. Learn how to do it. In other words, don't waste your wealth and your resources. Most Christians don't even know where their money goes to. At the end of the year, most Christians don't even evaluate how much money they make and where they put the money. It's just used up. Most Christians don't plan ahead and say, "Okay, I have this amount. How do I lay up, use it to lay up treasures in heaven?" It is. Most Singaporeans plan 9 months ahead for their holidays. I asked somebody, how do you get such a cheap air ticket to Europe? He said, you don't know the secret. I said, what's the secret? Book 9 months ahead. See, a lot of Christians plan ahead for their holidays. But they never plant far enough to lay up treasures. Why lay up treasures in heaven? When you do so, what happens? God deposits treasures on earth for you. That's where we learn about from Luke chapter 10. We talked about this. Don't waste your wealth. Don't squander it away and let somebody else scam you and then money's gone. Thirdly, fourthly, don't lose your eternal rewards. Okay. Next week, the sermon is not about rewards. It's about how to enter into heaven. It's even more crucial. But up to now, Jesus is talking about rewards. There are eternal rewards. You lose them all. You got no inheritance when you get in heaven. There are rewards to be won and for if you do things certainly. How do we do it? We glorify the Father. So, don't lose your rewards. Now you may think it may not matter, but it will matter when you get there. Then Jesus says, don't worry. Put God first. So, you know, all of us got worries and challenges. It can be health. It can be financial. It can be about your future or your children. It can be about studies. You're a student. It's always worrying whether you pass. If you get sick and you cannot concentrate, yeah, you cannot make it. Or you are worried about opportunities in career development. We worry a lot of things. And worries will destroy us. But God already told us, put God first. So don't worry. People tell us, psychiatrists say, don't worry. Things will be fine. Don't worry. Cheer up. Things could get worse. And when you cheer up, things did get worse. So, how do you deal with your worries? So these are the five don'ts that we have to grapple with in order to live a healthy and happy life. You cannot avoid all this unless you make this an element of prayer. Say, Lord, I do not want to end up in hell. Help me to stay on the road of faith. Stay honest with you. Stay righteous with you. So with these five challenges, don't tell me you never face it. We all face it, but sometimes we don't bother about it. That's why you need to pray. You cannot solve these problems without prayer. All right. All these are from the same chapter that we're talking about, all right? I didn't go anywhere else. These are the warnings to avoid. So, why don't we pray? Because we are not aware of the dangers. Deliver us from evil. That's the prayer. Therefore, we have to pray. What evil? Well, I give you five evils that you need to pray against. That's called defensive praying. All right, so that's one reason why. So you say, I don't believe in this. Well, then you will carry on your worry. You might end up in hell because you're not clear what qualifies, what kind of righteousness. Okay, so these are five things for you to remember. So what is the principle about praying effective prayers? James chapter 5 says the prayer of faith. You know, sometimes we pray for the sick, we pray for ourselves, we pray for others. It's not very effective. So you think, oh, this one won't work. So what for pray? But the Lord says in chapter 5 verse 15 of James that what? The prayer of faith will heal. God answers the prayer of faith. What do you mean by prayer of faith? Let me explain from this mind map what is faith the Bible talks about. Well, first of all, faith in this picture you see there is a vertical element. It is faith in the Heavenly Father. Prayer of faith doesn't mean, you know, some people say, I got confident, it will surely work. I have faith. I have faith in what? Faith in faith. That doesn't work. I have faith in myself. Well, it ain't gonna work. Oh, I have faith in people or in the system. You're gonna be disappointed. So there must be a faith in the Heavenly Father. All right. But can you see this vertical line? Faith cannot work unless it has got a foundation. Can you see this? Faith must have a foundation. Your faith that has got no foundation is not effective faith. It's not biblical faith. It won't work. So what is the faith that the foundation of your faith that will precipitate your prayer? It is His will and His commandments and His promises all constitute His will. So Jesus said in this prayer, Thy will be done. So how do you know God's will or God's promises? You see, God's will is encased in His promises. So if you're ignorant of God's promises, it ain't gonna work. That's why Jeremiah 33:3 we read, he says, call upon me and I will answer you. But how many of you here really believes God answers? Theoretically, yes. But in the last 1 week, have God answered any prayer? No, because you didn't pray? Or nothing specific? Nothing specific God can't answer. But it says here, you need to know His will. What do you think we spend hours to prepare sermon every week to share with you? God's will. Do you really bother to listen and understand God's will? Because that will key you in on what to ask. And it sits on the Word of God. So if you got no time to read the Bible, you're too busy and too important to read the Bible. Your God's Word doesn't mean much to you. It's just a burden. Then I'm afraid you ain't going to have any faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, oh, I don't have much faith. Who has got faith? Nobody has got faith. But those of us who feed on the Word of God, we have faith. That's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. So if you're not spending time in the Word of God, what kind of faith do you have? It's hollow faith. It's your own philosophy faith. And it couldn't work. That's why we are not seeing answers to prayer. Our prayer is not very effective. So this vertical faith in the Heavenly Father must sit on the Word of God. So you have to have this habit if you're going to see answered prayer. Of course, the first thing faith you need to have, what we call saving faith. We faith is firmly planted on Jesus' finished work. We come to God because God, Jesus had opened the door for us. That's what the Word of God says. What makes you think God is going to listen to your prayers? Well, because Jesus died for my sin. He has opened the door. I now have access. But some of us don't appreciate this, having access into the presence of the King of Kings. We think it's just like an access to the hawker center, or access to a shop or a mall. No, it's not like that. In ancient times, nobody comes into God's presence without certain conditions. In fact, in ancient times, only the high priest, the highest ranking priest, can only come into God's presence, not in his own time, not in his own way. He need to come with the blood of sacrifice. He come into God's presence only once a year on the Day of Atonement. The assigned time, in the assigned way, You don't come anyhow you like. Two priests tried to do it their way, and they died because of God's holiness. So we always thank Jesus that we have access because of the finished work. Hey, appreciate that we come, we have access for your prayer because of his finished work. So when we may come with, we don't come with dead works. That means works that, what are dead works? Works that are not done with faith. The Word of God says that which is not of faith is sin. That which is not of faith is sin. Everything we do on the basis of God's promises. Now, you need foundation. Faith needs foundation. And as long as you are ignorant of this foundation, you ain't going to have any faith that will move mountains. The second thing that you need to know about faith is faith needs to be confirmed. That's called the confirmation of faith. You need a foundation, but you also need confirmation. What do you mean by this? Well, this is called faith in action. So faithfulness in faith, in action, what kind of action? Faith in action is always an action of faithfulness. You believe in faith, do I trust God's promises? Can I trust God or not? So many of you have already trusted God's finished work, Jesus' finished work. You say, now I think I can trust God. I can trust his word. That's good, but not good enough. Because the second question you need to ask yourself is, can God trust me? Can God trust me or not? That's faithfulness. Do you know God loves us? But in a relationship, God do not tolerate faithlessness. In any covenant relationship, faithfulness is a requirement. Ask any woman who married a man, and you know, why do you marry the man? Oh, we have love. But is love good enough? No. What happened is, you love your husband, but the husband going to sleep with another woman. What happened to your love? You ask your husband, do you still love me? Of course I love you. I love you so much, but I also love somebody else. What do you call that? Unfaithfulness. Will unfaithfulness be covered by the love that God has for us? God loves us, but that love cannot cover for unfaithfulness. Just like a woman will not tolerate a husband who loves her, truly loves her, but is unfaithful. So, in faithfulness, God can trust me. That's called righteousness. God can trust me with sex. I will not do it any way other than what he states. Whether you're a young man, a young woman starting out, I can be trusted with sex. I'll not sleep with anyone, no matter how attractive he is or she is. Because I'm faithful to my future husband, my future wife. I'm faithful. Can you see the idea? Faithfulness is whether God can trust me. So if God gives me great and mighty things, can I be trusted to handle it? If God unloads power into my life, supernatural power, can I be trusted to use it for his glory? Can I be trusted with money? Or can people buy me? People say there's a price. I'll bribe you. What's your price? Can you be trusted with money? Can you be trusted with your time? Can you be trusted with your affection? Are you trustworthy? Or are you somebody that God cannot trust? So if you cannot be trusted, why should God answer your prayer? Because when how many people, when God bless them, I hear one person who asked God for a good job. And when a good job came, he had no time for worship. I asked him, how come you have no time for worship? Oh, you know, that's because of the good job. God answered my prayer. So since I get a good job, I got no time for God. Is that the way it is? Are you can be trusted? Just because God bless you, it becomes a reason. Remember Adam and Eve, they both sinned against God, right? And God asked Adam, why do you break my commandment? I told you not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so, oh, God, it's because of the woman you gave me. It's very easy to blame other people. Oh, their husband gave me like that. I prayed for my good husband. Now I got a good husband. And since I've got a good husband, I got no time for God. I know you have time for my husband. Can you be trusted with a good husband or a good wife? Can God trust you? That's a question. Many of us think that faith is one-way street. Can I trust God? But faith is, can God trust me? That is faith. And so we always have tested faith. So that's why sometimes God takes a longer time. How many people have come to this church for a couple of years, 3 years, and they got a health problem and ask God to turn things around? 1 year can't pass. It didn't work. 2 years went by, still the same. 3rd year went by, still the same. I think God has no power. Is that so? What is healing your sickness? That is only a tiny, it takes a tiny effort. But why? Why can't God heal me immediately? Well, can you see? Because of your faith, it is not focused on His foundation. So your faith needs to be tested. All of life's journey, you will be tested on your faith. You ask, hey, Pastor, why must I be tested? Can't God accept me as I am? No, God accept you as you are. But you see, the problem is you don't know where you are. You say, I have faith. What kind of faith do you have? Those of you who are still taking studies, and at the end of the year, you tell the professor, why must I take an exam? I think what has been taught, I know everything already. So I should go to the next year. And what will the professor say? How do you know everything? How do you know if you are not tested? Those of you who are in NS before, you're supposed to run for 2.4 kilometers, and now I understand it's 15 minutes. In the old days, 11 minutes. Correct or not? No NS people here. I know Roland became sailor, so they excuse him, but the rest of you. All right. How do you know you're going to make 2.4 kilometers in 11 minutes? Well, we have to have a test, so it's called IPPT. And of course, the government said, pity the soldiers. Maybe we shouldn't test them. Then when they come to the war, they can't even climb up the hill. How to fight? So, why must we have been tested? Because you don't know where you stand. You say you have faith, but what kind of faith? Is your faith on the foundation? Is it based on God's promises? Oh, I have faith. I have faith that after this, I will eat kway tiao mi at the. Do you need faith for that? Down. So you need faith for something big, something beyond yourself. But how do you know? God needs to test us at every stage. And it's very, very unpleasant sometimes. So sometimes we wait. But our prayers will be effective as long as we have tested faith. Why test the faith? That means God can trust you. That after you do it, you won't go around boasting to everybody and get glory for yourself rather than giving glory to God. Okay, so the prayer of faith, just remember, you want to attract God's attention? Faith. True faith, not your imaginary faith. Test that faith. Lastly, let me explain what are the key elements of how to pray. Okay, this is the way to pray. Everybody tries to pray his own way. Everyone got his own opinion of what prayer is. But you know, you have to pray God's way. Jesus said, when you pray, you need to pray according to God's will. How to pray? So the Lord gives us this prayer, which you should memorize. I know we don't repeat this prayer in public, but you should memorize. He says it begins with a relationship phrase, our Heavenly Father. So when you pray, pray to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, call on the Father. But very often I hear people leading, even leaders praying, oh Lord Jesus, oh Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, look, address the Heavenly Father. Don't address all over the shop. And at least don't address St. Joseph or St. Peter, all right, or St. Mary, the mother of Jesus. No, address the Father. Why? Because when you pray to the Father, you are Father and Son relationship. So in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this. Because you have a Father who loves you, when you ask for a bread, he will not give you what? A stone. Or when you ask for some meat, fish, he will not give you a snake. Because the Father will give you good gifts. The Father got standard one, you know. The Father got standard. When he gives you, he's not second-hand goods. It's not lousy goods. Is always the best gift. That's why James says in 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift that fits you is from the Father. Is from the Father who changes not. How many of you married men know that a prudent wife is from the Lord? But you say, Pastor, my wife is not very prudent. My wife is not a prudent woman. She gave me hell. Well, it's not from the Father. Right? How about husband? Same, same. All right. So you say, well, why my husband so lousy one? Well, it's, maybe you didn't ask. Okay. So before I got married, you know, in Sunday school, I grew up in church. All my friends all married already. And I say, how come nobody wants me? So I waited and waited. I said, I think I got no chance. So I waited and waited. But one day I said, Lord, don't mind you. Show me who. So after a long prayer, the Lord showed me this girl that I like. Then I approached her. She says, hey, hang on. I didn't say I like you, you know. I said, oh, like that. So I have to pray some more. I said, God, please, you don't mind, you go and convince her. So I think he did answer that prayer. So Heavenly Father, just remember the Father delights to give you good gifts. He's not in second-hand goods, not lousy gifts. Children are a gift of the God. Do you realize that? So you value them. So how do you begin? You begin with adoration. So Jesus said, hallowed be your name. You hallow something, it's not a telephone call. All right. It's a word for sacredness. Your name is sacred. Your name is great. Your name is holy. Hallowed be your name. And in this, we are talking about when we hallow his name, we are talking about his worthiness. All right. Why is he worthy? We begin with calling upon his name, not begin with, oh, I need a new bicycle. I need a new car. Hey, don't hang on. What are we doing now in hallowing God's name? We are extending worship, but extending worship cannot take place unless, can you see this red arrow here? Unless you are filled with the Word of God, you don't know how to worship. That's why this teaching on Sundays and your reading is very important. You learn how to pray, but you pray with from God's Word, you know what He is like. Then you could pray worship. All right. That's adoration. Some of you say, well, I'm not good at it. How do I begin? How do I improve my prayer life on this area of adoration? Because every time I pray, I start with give me, give me, give me, give me, and give me. That's not the way to start. You are respecting God, then you start with adoration. What do you do in adoration? You use God's Word to help you. Memorize these good prayers and mean it when you pray. Psalm 8. Wow, that's so wonderful. When I put my children to bed when they are very young, they would ask me, especially my second child would ask me, Daddy, can you just say a psalm? And she'll close her eyes. And I'm supposed to say a psalm without looking. So I often fall back on Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then it goes on to say that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength. And then we talk about, then it goes on to say about your creation, the moon and the stars which you have made. And then it goes on to the creation story that about the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the things that pass through the paths of the sea. You have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. Lord, you have crowned us. And so on. So Psalm 8 is a great psalm to make use of. Or 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 11 onwards. I give you some reference in your notes. That's a powerful prayer that I often use. It says about wealth has come from you. It's a thanksgiving prayer, but it's a prayer of adoration. Because in adoration, we are giving thanks to his name. What I'm telling you are all in your notes. You see, I cannot show notes and picture at the same time. So today I switch gear a bit, right? So in my notes, I tell you that how do we do adoration? Well, you use the Psalms to help you. The Psalms, the psalmists have great prayers that you can use because these are the words of worship. You see, most of us come into Christian life, we don't have the vocabulary of worship. We just say, Lord, we worship you. One sentence, finish. And we try to teach you worship. When you come, when you worship, raise your hands to the Lord. You all know that, but most of us, our hands are too heavy. Can you move your body when you worship? It's adoration. But one of the things in the notes I tell you is the names of God. Hallowed be your name. How do you hallow his name? Well, God has got 300 names. You know most of them. Jehovah Jireh or Yireh in Hebrew. Jehovah Jireh, God, you are my provider. Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner. The Lord is my banner. He's talking about victory, a banner of victory. His banner over me is love. You know that song? And then there's the name Jehovah Shammah. Shammah means God is there. Jacob, when he prayed in Bethel, the next morning he said, Jehovah Shammah. God was there, but I was not aware. There's plenty. Jehovah Tzidkenu, God, my righteousness. I come. Lord, you're a God of righteousness. 300 names, learn them. Those are very good names for worship. It helps propel you into the language of worship. Yes, very good. That's adoration. I seldom hear worship prayers. It's so refreshing when you hear worship prayers. And it's often about His greatness, His glory, His wisdom that He has shown you, whether through the narratives of the Bible or through the Psalms. Okay. That's always comes from the Word. Second, there's confession. In confession, we are exercising poverty in spirit to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I said the wrong things. I lack ability to catch hold of every Kairos opportunities to witness for you. Acknowledging my sin, that's mourning. This is from the Beatitude. So Beatitudes are very helpful for you to know how to do confession. So I've broken your commandments. And this is a prayer of repentance. Okay. Prayer of repentance. So the conviction from God, from His Word again, to tell me, what have I not... It can be a sin of omission, can be a sin of commission. Something I'm not supposed to do, I did the wrong way. Omission, something I should say to comfort someone, but I didn't. All right. This, thirdly, it must be a time of thanksgiving. Because ACTS is something all of you know. So the Lord Jesus talk about acknowledging. You see, you need to see the goodness of God before you express gratitude. Some of us cannot see the goodness of God. We are so self-centered. We only see our own weakness and our own goodness. Hey, goodness of God, every day, we sang that song. That's a very powerful song. I love you, Lord. And then, what else do you say? All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. But we never see the goodness of God if we don't walk in faith. So it's a time of giving. But we also give thanks for His mercy that never fails. We give thanks for His goodness every day. If you therefore you need to pause every day, particularly during the day or at the end of the day, to say, in what way is my goodness? And I should what? Count the goodness, the blessings. It's a time of thanksgiving. And every day you must be able to see in what way God has been good to you. Because God is good 24/7. Even when you sleep, it's God's goodness. When you dream good dreams. One night I dreamt I met Jesus by a lake. And it was exhilarating. It was only a dream, but it rejuvenated my love for Jesus. So count your blessings. Don't every day complain. Why like this? Why like that? Okay, complaining spirit is a no-no for answered prayer. Count your blessings. Lastly, ask. Firstly, before you ask, you must know that He knows what you need. So you're not coming across first time. He already knows what you need. And He's keen to give you the best. But you need to ask. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. You are too lazy to ask. Jesus said again and again, up to now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. You have not because you ask not. But you have not because you did not keep on asking. So in chapter 7, there is some teaching from Jesus. Three things. ASK, what does it stand for? Jesus said, A stand for ask. And it will be or given. S, seek. And you will find. Knock, ASK. Knock and it will be open. Doors are not open unless you... But actually, the Greek is not the same. The Greek doesn't say ask. The Greek says ask and keep on asking. It says seek and keep on seeking. So there's only one version that puts it that way. And knock and keep on knocking. That's because you don't ask one time. But sometimes, yeah, I also know we tend to forget. One time I walked by the cinema in Bedok North Avenue 3, that cinema called Li Hua Kong, right? So one day I walked by that place and I put my hand at the back of the building. You cannot do it in front because you'll be seen. So I put it at the back. I said, Lord, I need this building, you know. Can you give it to me? And then a few years later, it was offered for sale and we bought it. And then because we bought it, we were able to sell it. And then now we got money to build the Tampines Church. So I asked for some time. And I actually, sometimes we forget. But God never forgets, you see. And so God knows we have our weakness. So many years later, it appears. But Tampines Land, we asked in 1979. Wow, it's been a long time. Now we see it. So what do you work on in asking? You first of all, work on intercession. All right? Pray for others. Secondly, ask for your own needs. Pray for yourself. It's okay. And then look at the promises of God. Let me just go take you to the notes in closing. Because there are a few things you need to work on for application. If you look at your notes, can you wave to me your notes, please? Okay, now you turn to the last part, which is called the practical things, all right? I'm going to run through quickly, and then you... okay, the most of it you can... I've covered it already, but I want to talk about praying for others. And now, the few practical things you need to work on. One is called, when you pray, you need to be systematic because you need to be systematic in prayer because most of us, we tend to be very, run all over the shop, you know, and we confuse ourselves. What do you mean by, so to be systematic, to have focus, you need to have a prayer list. Until you get used to a prayer list, you memorize it, then you can throw away the list. But until then, try to... The prayer list should be focused on who to pray for. This is the who part. Okay. There are other elements. You can have another list, your do list and so on. But here is your intercession list. Okay, I'm talking about a component called intercession, praying for others. You do need a list and you need to do. For each day of the week, include the following. For instance, for myself and my wife, we every Monday we pray for our children. And for those of you who are grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, you should be praying for them. So, Tuesdays, please, when you pray for your children, don't just pray like this. Father, bless my three kids, the big one, the middle one, and the small one. Amen. What kind of prayer is this? All right, be more specific, all right? Pray blessing. And every day we normally do one thing. Between my wife and I would pray a blessing on her and she will always pray a blessing on me when we start in the morning. This one every day we'll do. Make it a habit. But this is more detailed praying when you pray together. Tuesday, I tend to pray for disciples and for the nations because Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. He said, okay, thanks. Then Wednesday, you should pray for the leaders of the church and the church. You know, a lot of people always claim, oh yeah, why our church like this? Why this church like this? You know why you talk like that? You never pray for the church. Pray for our church, our leaders. They need prayer. Thursdays, I pray for intercession of neighbors, loved ones, cell members, missions and outreach. These are things you can pray. You can call it ministry prayer. All right. Then Friday, we tend to pray for our extended family, for my nephews, grandnephews, relatives, aunties, uncles, all over the shop. Each one pray for their health and so on. And up to the third generation, we'll cover this. Then Saturday, I try to pray for ourselves. Okay, Saturday, I pray for myself. S for self. Okay, F for family. So self, you need to pray for yourself too. And usually we ask God for vision casting. What to look ahead? How far should we go? What do we want to see happen? So this is more based on our future, what we want to do, and asking God to help us. And then Sunday, we don't pray for anything. We focus on worship. Okay, we do adoration. So that's why when they are doing practicing, I like to join in for my own worship. All right. Now, so that's one way you can formulate your prayer list. Because if you don't, you forget. That's a problem. Petition. Petition in praying for yourself. Saturday, you pray for yourself, right? Of course, every day you can also pray for yourself for immediate things. The personal growth is something you need to work on. Problems, worries, needs, the work of your ministry, and then your long-term goals, which are important. Thanks. So, learn to pray for yourself. If you have health problem, pray for yourself. Anointing oil, anoint yourself, and claim the word of God, the prayer of faith, and you get to heal. There are some practicalities you need to work on. One is you need to really prioritize. In this church, we call the personal time with God your listening time. Listening time must be daily. It's good to start the day with and then end the day with. And just what are the times you want to see? There are also what we call extended time. What I challenged by is a world, Dawson Trotman. He would take a day off and go to the somewhere quiet, and you read the word, read a biography, and then pray. So, but you, these are daily, seek God first. You see, did it make a difference? Saul never had time for God. God blessed him, but he had no time. And God, when God killed him, God, one of the elements was he never inquired of God. In other words, he never bothered to consult God what he should do. He think he was king above everybody else, even above God. But David is always in the habit of inquiring, asking God, Lord, what should I do? How should I do it? You need to get in a habit of having a listening time. When you ask God, then you stay quiet and try to sense what God is saying. Okay? Can you do that? And then last, when you seek God, we need to be faithful to His great commission and His great commandment. We talk about prayer of faith. I already mentioned to you what it is. Plan. You need to plan your listening time. You sometimes call it quiet time. I don't like to use a word quiet time. Because when I ask somebody, do you have a quiet time? You say, yes. I say, what do you every department of life, this is one booklet I recommend you to read to help you understand how to surrender and then persevere in prayer. So you keep on praying. The word of God said, pray without ceasing. Now, then application, I leave it to you. Answer some of these questions. But the most important, can you fix your listening time with the Lord? Give him the time. Give him the best time. I set some rules for myself. I start my day at 5 a.m. in the morning up to 12. I don't do anything except do things that are committed to the kingdom. The afternoon, I'm a bit drowsy. Okay, so I do that, use that for other things. But highest priority, I try to give my time to the Lord. So that self-examination application, I leave it to you. But can you set a time to meet with God so that when you need to him to meet with you, he will have time for you? Don't be one of those who have no time for God. And then God will say, I also have no time for you. Let's pray. Father, you are a God who made, give us time. We are able to live. Our lifespan depends on you. Father, as we talk about how to set aside time to meet with you, Lord, many of us are busy, especially mothers here with young children. I just pray, Lord, for wisdom for every one of us that will put you first in our use of our time so that, Lord, we'll be able to pray and get answers to our prayers. Thank you for your precious promises, Lord. And lead us even as we make some decisions this afternoon. As to how to set aside listening time. We pray in Jesus' name.